In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Expectations. Life is full of expectations. From birth until death, each of us have people who expect us to do or be or say something great. This begins with our parents and continues throughout our lives. Our Lord's birth is no different. In fact, his birth carried with it a great many expectations. To begin with, Mary and Joseph, in Joseph's impending nuptials, were still quite a way off when Mary was found with child. You can imagine their families were likely far into the planning of the wedding, the preparation of the household, and so forth. Anticipation was in the air for that upcoming ceremony. To be betrothed in those days meant quite a bit more than our modern engagements. Betrothal was a legal union. They were required to spend time apart to deal with the business of marriage and family before the matrimony, before the mother-making, the consummation took place. But before this took place, before Joseph and Mary entered into that one flesh union, well, Mary was found to be a mother. At the discovery of her pregnancy, Joseph's anticipations, his expectations about how his life was going to go, they were all thrown out the window. The wedding, the honeymoon, the life together, all of that was crumpled up and thrown away for what? For a fling? For an old high school boyfriend? For that Roman soldier? Joseph didn't know, but his expectations were ruined. Joseph, however, was an honorable man. Regardless of who he presumed that father to be, he didn't want to make Mary the talk of the town. And so he resolved to divorce her quietly. That is, to dissolve the engagement and let Mary go quietly away. It would not be easy, but he wanted to grant her and her family some dignity. He, at least, was not a man who would break his word, unlike, he assumed, his bride-to-be. And yet this child in Mary's womb, far from being a wrench in Joseph's plans, was in fact the fulfillment of the divine plan that had been at work since the world was founded. For this child in the womb of Mary was the long-expected Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham, Jesus Christ himself. Matthew tells us this in the verses preceding our gospel lesson today, when he recounts the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It begins like this: Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and so on and so forth, all the way down to verse 16, when we read, "And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Christ." Now, when we read this list, our eyes probably tend to start to glaze over at all the unfamiliar names, but it's important to understand the significance of this genealogy of Jesus. See, through each generation, from Adam all the way through Jesus, God was at work. Matthew abbreviates this long list down to a very neat and concise list of 42 generations from Abraham to Jesus. To begin with, in his editing, he cuts out the genealogy from Adam to Abraham, and then he skips over a few generations here and there to give us the highlights. This genealogy carries with it a pedigree that Jesus carries, because it is a record of all the divine promises that had been yet unfulfilled by the time of Joseph and were about to be fulfilled in the incarnation of our Lord. Promises like the promise to Abraham, "In your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Promises like the promise made to Judah, son of Israel, to whom it was spoken, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Likewise, David, the son of Jesse, of the house and line of Judah, was promised these words. The Lord said, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. We read earlier in our Old Testament lesson the promise made to Ahaz, another one of David's descendants who reigned as king in Jerusalem. To him this prophecy was made, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel. Many more passages, of course, could be read, all of them fulfilled in Jesus. All of them connected to these 42 generations that Matthew gives us. But the point is made, I think. The expectations were very high. The promises were very grand. But up till Joseph's day, it seemed like it was all in vain. Because it had been many generations since a son of David had reigned upon the throne. It had been many generations where foreign powers had been in control. At the time of Jesus' birth, the King Herod was the one who reigned over Israel. He was not a son of David, but a son of Esau. It all looked as if God's promises were going unfulfilled. And yet, the angel brings to Joseph this joyous news that God had been working behind the scenes to bring about all of the promises he had made. The angel says these words, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Hundreds, in fact, thousands of years of waiting, of hoping, of expectations growing and multiplying and finally fading away. But now finally, the time of the fulfillment had come. With these words from the angel, Joseph learns the truth. His bride, far from being a woman who stepped out on him, is in fact pregnant with the divine son who now steps into the creation that he himself made. We learn from the names that Jesus is given the expectations of this child. In our gospel lesson, we hear of two names, Jesus and Emmanuel. The name Jesus means Yahweh saves. This son of Mary, who also was the Son of God, took on human flesh in order to suffer and die for the forgiveness of our sins. He took on this a human flesh in order that, as the innocent man, he might stand in our place, we who are guilty with many and various sins. He was born without corruption so that he might suffer as the innocent victim for us. He was to suffer and die for our sin, the answer of God the Father to our parents' first rebellion way back in the Garden of Eden. And what about this second name, Emmanuel? Well, Matthew translates it for us. In Hebrew, this name means God with us. Because through the sacrifice of Jesus, the wrath of God against sin is satisfied and taken away through Jesus' atoning death, the reconciliation between God and man has taken place. Jesus is the God-man. He joins together God and man in his own person so that he may bring us back into the presence of God, back into communion with our Creator. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it was for your sake that God was made man. If he hadn't been born in our time, you'd still be sleeping the sleep of death because of your sin. If he had not taken up the body and joined and donned this very same flesh that Adam had, you would never have been liberated from your sinful flesh. If he had not come to die a death for you, you would never receive the gift of eternal life. But thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord, for he has come to save us from our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.